Welcome, lovely listeners. Thursday already? Time is flying. Today I have for you four short horror stories sent in by Patrick McNamara, another author on here that I have featured before. And just like my previous episode with Lucky Number, I'm putting Patrick McNamara front and center as well. And Patrick sent his story straight through to me via my Facebook page, which was absolutely brilliant. Now, this podcast's focus is not only to entertain you lovely people, but also give authors, listeners, and those with true accounts the opportunity to share their stories. And I just love it. Every single day, it puts a bounce in my step. Before we get the tales rolling, my creepy peeps, I'll be doing some iTunes review shoutouts at the end of this podcast episode. And you know how much I love those reviews as well. So turn off the lights, the sound up, and get ready for the tales of the creepy. On a lonely highway. I have always taken the same way home. I have always driven at night. I have never experienced any car troubles. That all changed tonight. I was driving and my engine stalled. Eventually, my car just stopped. I had no reception on my cell phone. Damn smartphones. Intelligence is apparently a broad definition and up for interpretation. This sounds very cliche. I am by myself on a dark stretch of a highway around 10 o'clock at night. I can't even call for a tow. Then, the noises started. It was like muffled whines. I didn't think that they were anything more than in my head. Then I heard it again, and this time closer. Now, it was followed by a heavy wheeze. I will be honest with you. I am slightly unsettled. It stopped for a good 19 minutes. Then, I heard the muffled whines and loud wheeze. From the sounds of it, it was coming from about 60 feet to my left, down this ditch. I peered over the ditch, and what I saw, I could never have imagined. It was grey, with claw-like nerve fingers. In fact, the closer I looked, the more I realized that it was almost entirely muscle tissue, as if this thing was inside out. I couldn't scream, I couldn't move. This thing was dragging itself up the ditch. I thankfully regained my footing and ran back into my car. I managed to lock myself in right before it could reach me. It repeatedly shook my car, hissing and roaring. Its eyes, they were black, pure black. It had no nose, and its mouth had at least 13 rows of razor-sharp teeth. It looked hungry. I was terrified. I knew that I was about to die. Then, I saw a pickup truck have its high beams on. The thing emitted a high-pitched scream. The pickup truck pulled up behind me. The driver, a man in his 40s, rushed out with a shotgun. He blasted the blinded creature. It retreated back into the ditch and into the darkness. The man fired 3 more shots into that thing and got it good, because I saw black liquid with yellow pus create this trail behind it. The man approached me and asked, "Did it hurt you at all?" I shook my head. "It's gone now. You can start your car. It was hungry and wanted to trap you. Its focus is on its wounds now. It can't keep you here. Be careful out here this late. It is going to recover. Maybe about 1 month. Go on now." With that, I started my car and drove away. I don't know what that thing was. I can be sure of one thing. I am never going to take that road again. The Bizarre Suicide of David Myers. David Myers was a successful prosecution lawyer. He always fought for what's right. He was single and very active socially. He was openly bisexual. He was very healthy. Nothing would indicate what would happen on September 19th, 2009. September 18th, 2009, David Myers celebrated a very huge case victory. Friends later reported he acted very nervous and actually seemed afraid of someone or something. It was also reported that his close friends spotted a disfigured man always at the most 20 feet away wherever they went. Anytime anyone tried to confront him, they would not be able to find him. However, whenever they went somewhere new, there he was. David refused to even acknowledge the man, let alone confront him. When anyone mentioned the man, however, David's terror in his eyes was obvious. The man finally approached David and whispered in his ear. After that, he walked out and left. Soon after, David said goodbye and left. When David didn't show up to an important lunch meeting the next day, his secretary visited and discovered him hanging from the landing of his condo stairs. No note, no reason. Well, police couldn't find a reason why. What terrified police was that when he was found, he looked exactly like the disfigured man of which his friend had described at the bar that night. The restaurateur. A businessman is much like a child. It has to be created and nourished. It can only prosper if effort is put into it. Not all people adhere to this rule, nor do they play fair. I have been a missing persons detective for at least 20 years. Time seems to run together in my line of work. Cases don't always end with a happy reunion. A lot of my cases end tragically and become a joint effort with our homicide department. Hence, the case of 56-year-old Mitchell Evans. Now, he wasn't a missing persons case. His case, though, was discovered technically by me. You see, I mostly work alone. Only when I'm absolutely sure of foul play do I call in my homicide department. On March 22nd, 2012, I received a case that was from the get-go. Strange. Usually, I only receive only single-person cases. This case, however, I knew was not going to end well. It was three college-age women who were each abducted from their dorm rooms. No signs of a struggle. I immediately called homicide. Apparently, they suspected that these disappearances were linked to a series of bizarre murders. Each of the victims, both male and female, were found mutilated. I am not going to even describe what was done to each victim. Needless to say that it was bad. Organs were taken, flesh and muscle as well. What was the killer doing with it? Why did he excessively mutilate his victims? The killer claimed 22 victims within only 2 years. Our investigation led to an interesting discovery. Each of the victims, each last, ate at the Cajun Grill, a very unique restaurant owned by Mitchell Evans. Now, nobody in this town knew anything about Mr. Evans. He was very eccentric. Most people suspected he was gay. But that's not what this is about. Regardless of his sexuality, he is someone that I will and can never forget. His restaurant was very well known for having exotic meats. He always laughed when patrons asked about it. We also disturbingly discovered he has made no meat purchases in the previous 2 years, even though his restaurant is almost exclusively meat. We began researching his past and we discovered that his name was not even Mitchell Evans. He was born Greg Wright. He was originally from Amsterdam. We also discovered that Greg Wright was a very sadistic criminal. At age 23, he strangled to death his girlfriend. He never explained his reasons. He served 12 years in prison, released early due to good behavior. At 37, he killed another girlfriend. This time he stabbed her 40 times directly in her heart and genitals. And this time he served 15 years in prison, again released for good behavior. Then, when he was 53, he legally changed his name to Mitchell Evans and moved to America, more specifically our area. At 54, he opened a restaurant, and around that time, the murders in our area began. And only because of his mistake in targeting his customers, did we finally discover him. As you probably guessed by now, dear reader, yes, he did serve human meat to his customers and ate some himself. He was a cannibal. The evidence was overwhelming and the sick bastard confessed to it. A cannibalistic serial killer operated in my city for 2 years, and only by chance we caught him. I don't know what is more disturbing, that or the fact that I regularly ate at his restaurant. Not only that, but I quite enjoyed the food. I know it was human meat now. And I realize that I won't ever legally find that flavor again. It's not a myth. It's absolutely real. And if you see it, you should run. The woods are dark. They house a lot of animals. And if one believes superstition, then it houses spirits as well. I know something. I cannot keep quiet about it any longer. People have the right to know. Go ahead. Think I am crazy? I do not care anymore. What I saw was 100% real. It happened when I went camping about 3 weeks ago. It was a normal, beautiful January day. Cold, but I love the woods during the winter. Something about the solitude mixed with the cold. I find it peaceful. I have camped like this in the past and had no troubles. I bundle up and protect myself. I even camp in an RV, not a tent, so I am warm when I'm inside and safe when I'm asleep. I always go to the same spot. I truly do consider it my spot. The first day and night was uneventful. Day two, however, I heard rustling around my campsite. Whenever I returned from hiking, I noticed that my food was rummaged through, and a mess was left in its wake. I figured a large animal did this, so I just sighed and cleaned up the mess. Around sunset, while I was in my RV, something began shaking my entire vehicle. It felt like an earthquake. It felt like something wanted me out of my RV, or it wanted me out of my camping site. Me being my stubborn self refused to do either, knowing that I could outwit any beast. Boy, was I wrong. Later, the very same evening, I heard a heavy pounding on my side RV door. I was confused. Is there another winter camper who wanted help, or a stranded winter hiker? I hesitated at the door. Something inside me told me not to answer that door. I never felt a more primal fear in my life. As I backed away from the door, the heavy knocking only got heavier. Then my RV began shaking again. This time, however, was followed by a guttural scream and a high-pitched howling. I just stood there, frozen in terror. At this point, my doorknob began turning violently. My RV door locks are broken. This thing was trying to get inside to me. I knew in my very soul that once it got in, I would die. Then, my RV side door opened very slowly. What I saw disturbed me greatly. It was 9 feet tall and very horrifyingly lanky. Its skin was a dark bluish purple. Its eyes were reptilian. It stared at me. Before crawling into my RV on all fours, I backed away. It touched me with a very long claw-like finger. It caressed my face. At this point, I collapsed from sheer fright. I woke up the next day, only to find it was gone. No sign of it being there, except my RV side door hung wide open. I am not an idiot. I packed up and got the hell out of there. I am writing this story to warn you. If you are a winter camper, be vigilant. This thing is out there. I truly believe that I was lucky. It could have killed me. I was unconscious. It chose to spare me. I don't know what it is or what it wants. I do, however, suggest if you are a winter camper and see it, it's not a myth. It's absolutely real, and I think you should run. I don't think it likes people visiting its home. And this concludes our four short horror stories by Patrick McNamara. Talk about talented, right? You know, there is an art in doing short horror stories. You've got to make sure that it goes in quick, it's got good pacing, quickly likable characters. You basically have to go in like a wrecking ball, most often than not, in my opinion, because that way the story leaves a big imprint. Of all these stories, though, my favourite would have to be The Restaurateur.
Why?
Well, I like the fact that at the end of the story, it alludes to the fact that the town, the people, and the investigator himself really, really enjoyed the meat. Makes me wonder if there's more to this story, right? What was your favorite story? I'd love to know. And if you have a story of your own, you can reach me via email at storiesfablesghostlytales@gmail.com. And feel free to say hi. I love hearing from listeners. And speaking of lovely listeners, here are my most recent iTunes reviews. Cadillac Brian from Duval County. Cadillac Brian here, again, wanted to say what a great job this guy does, and will continue listening as long as he keeps posting new stories. Well, you'll be listening for a long time, Cadillac Brian. Thanks, buddy. Awesome. By Galacticus Jr.? That's great. What a great name. Simply my favorite horror podcast. Awesome stories and charismatic host. Thanks, buddy. Love it. By New Zoo Review 0909. Okay. I love your enthusiasm in your podcast. Also, being from the US, I love your accent. Dawn. Well, thank you so much. And I hope by now you know how much I love my US listeners. You guys and gals are just awesome. Best podcast ever. By Cat Cradle Baby. Brilliant name. First off, Let's Not Meet brought me here. Hey, I know that guy. By the way, just a short cut in here. Let's Not Meet podcast that Cat Cradle Baby is referring to is by Andy Tate. Another podcast, and I've actually worked with him. Top bloke. Now back to the review. First off, Let's Not Meet brought me here, and I love this podcast. It smacks me back to old radio stories, and I even got my mum to listen to it. Thank you for doing it. Ah, oh, that's brilliant. That's exactly what I'm looking for. I love introducing both the older and the newer generation to the old-time radio stories, and to create some nostalgia for those who have even, perhaps, heard it when those radio episodes first were aired. Ah, oh, that's awesome to hear. Cheers, Cat Cradle Baby. Addictive. By Luna Senpai. I can't stop listening. I just started listening to SFGT last Monday, and I'm on episode 159. Wow. Wow. Okay, that's awesome. I've told everyone and their pet rock to listen to SFGT. This podcast deserves way more than it's got, if it's able to scare me. And I'm a tough shell to crack. Now, I have to close the curtains of my room for fear of someone or something staring into it. Seriously though, I absolutely love this podcast. Greetings from Newark, New Jersey, in the US. And thank you, Luna Senpai, for this review. Amazing! By Mandy Cat. I love this podcast. Scary and creepy stories narrated by an awesome voice and accent. Love, love, love. Oh, well, thank you, Mandy Cat. And I love that kind of support. Cheers. Top-notch horror entertainment. By Travis D. This is an extremely enjoyable horror podcast. The narrator has a fantastic voice, and the story choices are varied and always creepy. My only small gripe would be that the episodes need to be longer so my blood can get frozen from terror tales for an extended period of time. Highly recommend podcast. Hit that subscribe button already. I did not add that last part in, I swear. Thank you so much, Travis D. What a fantastic review. Very enjoyable, entertaining. Margaret, from Canada. Truly intriguing, well-related stories. Thank you for the entertainment. A favorite while walking the puglet. Infectious Personality, by Kitty McTarko. Awesome name. Although this isn't my favorite genre of podcast, it is at the top of my favorite list because of the host's infectious personality. Always so animated, happy, positive, which contrasts with the content, but works as a perfect combo. He's also very appreciative of his listeners, grateful for any support he gets, which is also endearing. He's also very hardworking, putting out daily content, which I'm sure avid podcast listeners are very thankful for. Definitely someone I'd love to have a cup of tea with. Cheers. Thank you so much, Kitty McTaco. That was brilliant. Your review is going to put a bounce in my step for days ahead, I assure you. And the final podcast review is from Gina Hillary. SFGT came highly recommended, and I subscribed immediately. Best decision ever. This podcast quickly became one of my all-time favorites because it also tells stories from Let's Not Meet, Creepypastas, and No Sleep. The listener stories are equally as great and creepy, though one of the greatest aspects of this podcast is how appreciative the narrator is of his listeners and his excitement for the stories. I usually don't write reviews either, but this podcast is that good. My goodness, Gina Hillary, thank you so much. And I do know iTunes does not make it easy to leave these reviews. So thank you so much. It goes to show how lucky I really am to have so many awesome listeners. Thank you all so much. And if I've forgotten anyone, please let me know, because I would hate to miss you. And a quick little reminder, the easiest way to leave an iTunes review is to hop onto my SoundCloud account, leave iTunes review button, which makes life a lot easier. And then once you get to iTunes, click on my profile icon and boom, you can leave a review that way. I know it's a couple of hoops. iTunes doesn't make life easy when it comes to leaving a review, so I appreciate every single one that comes in. They're like little gems. I store them away so I can really appreciate them. And that concludes today's episode. So have a fantastic Thursday day, if your day is just starting, or have a fantastically creepy night, if your night is coming to an end. And on that note, it is that time. This is the place where stories live, and you telltellers come to listen. Enjoy your day or night, and join me every weekday for our creepy tradition. And as always, till next time.